Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Now to a really significant issue today, a dynamic that's been underway for some time. You'd hardly not notice it. But in other ways, it's really snuck up on our society, and all of a sudden, in the words of my next guest, billboards dominate public space with hyper-sexualized messages. Buses are painted with semi-naked women. There are pole dancing themes in shop fronts, pornographic magazines, next to the lollies at the petrol station counter, Playboy bunnies on everything from girls' jewellery to doona covers. Children are absorbing distorted messages about their bodies, sexuality, and gender roles. They're the words of Melinda Tankard-Reese, a relentless campaigner about the public sexualisation of children. We're keen for your feedback on this significant issue tonight. My guess is you have noticed it, probably been disturbed by it. Maybe it's been an issue or a conversation in your family. Maybe you're a teen, or you're a parent of a teen who feels an increasing and impossible pressure, in Melinda's words, living in a world saturated by sex, leaving young people with distorted views of their bodies, sexuality and gender roles. We're up for an open house conversation on this, 1300 40 2020. Just recently, for instance, Victoria's Secret launched a new underwear campaign targeting teenagers. Slogans like, "Call me" and "I dare you" on garments meant for young girls. How does that leave you feeling? Is there anything that can be done about it? Melinda Tankard-Reese is an author, speaker and media blogger, commentator and advocate for women and girls. Melinda, welcome to Open House.
A pleasure to be with you, Lee.
It's great to have you with us. Melinda, you call this a 21st century version of Mirror, Mirror on the Wall. Explain what you mean there.
I was referring there to specific online competitions where girls are encouraged to post images of themselves and then be judged. So they're inviting online scrutiny and judgment purely on their physical appearance. They're asking, am I hot or not? Am I pretty or ugly? And even girls as young as 11 have posted YouTube clips and sent images through Instagram asking these questions. And so girls aren't being assessed for their gifts, their abilities, their desire to make a difference in the world, their spirituality or values. They're purely being ranked and judged on the basis of physical appearance, in particular sexual attractiveness.
Although that's nothing new, people being judged on appearance. I mean, Hollywood's been doing it for generations.
It's much more widespread and it's much more targeting now younger and younger girls. Girls are having body image issues at ages never before seen. We have 1 in 100 girls anorexic, 1 in 10 bulimic. We have 8 and 9-year-olds being hospitalised as a result of disordered eating. We have an incredible increase in self-harm rates in girls, a 90% increase in older adolescent self-harming, a 60% increase in younger adolescent self-harming. We have 1 in 4 girls wanting to have plastic surgery. And all the global literature tells us that these negative physical and mental health outcomes are connected with this habitual body monitoring, with a culture that tells girls you're merely the sum of your sexual parts, that nothing else counts, there's nothing else important about you. So yes, we've always engaged in that shallow behaviour, but this is encompassing girls at rates never before seen.
You describe them as a target. Mm. Who's targeting them?
Advertisers, corporations, marketers who are wanting to expand their market, are wanting to get girls loyal to their brands from the earliest of ages, treating little girls as mini adults, as just small versions of women, really. Girls are being posed and styled in advertising as adult women, inviting us to see them as much older than they really are, as well as being directly targeted with products that even a few years ago wouldn't have been suitable for them.
So why are they, the young girls, particularly a target in this, that has been such a change?
It's all to do with market expansion. There was a major conference of of advertisers and corporations in America a few years ago, where they analysed studies done even of babies to see how they could market to babies. And what they did was they studied the drool of babies. They studied the dribble that comes out of a baby's mouth. And they noticed that the babies like to watch the dribble and where it landed. And so they figured that if they could put their logo right on the baby's clothing where the dribble stopped, they could get that brand into the baby's head from the earliest of ages. So, yeah, this is part of a global multinational move on babies, children, and young people.
Is it only advertising where this is being played out?
No, look, this is happening across the culture. Clothes, toys, games, music videos, billboards, girls' magazines, all of them sending girls and boys distorted messages about their bodies, their relationships, their sexuality, their value and worth. This is happening across the culture. I call it the pornification of culture. And it's contributing to an unprecedented assault on the healthy sexual development of a young people, particularly the spread of pornography. Average age of first exposure to porn is 11 years old. And the kids are seeing torture porn, rape porn, sadism, incest porn, and they think this is normal sex.
Leaving aside advertising, other corporations, do you think child sexualization, as you term it, has grown with the rise of social media?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Social media has contributed to girls seeing themselves only in sexual terms and to boys seeing girls in those ways as well. One of the most common expressions of that is the phenomenon known as sexting, where girls especially are pressured to send a sexual image of themselves. One in five girls have reported being pressured to send sexual images. And, of course, these can end up being spread everywhere. And there was a study done by the Internet Watch Foundation that found a staggering 88% of sexual images posted by young people online or through social media ended up permanently embedded on pornographic websites. So there's no such thing as online privacy. It was a staggering study that showed where these images end up. And so girls get a message that they have to be on display, they have to attract sexual attention, and they live in a culture that rewards exhibitionism. And tragically, even 10 and 11-year-old girls now are engaging these behaviours and not fully understanding or comprehending what the outcomes could be. And boys also aren't aware that if they take an image of an underage girl and distribute it, they can be charged with creating and distributing child pornography and end up on the child sex offender register. And again, they often have no idea of what the law says in this area.
I know you are far from a voice in the wilderness about this, because there's a lot of concern, there's mounting concern among parents and community leaders about this very thing.
Yes.
So what can be done?
There is a global uprising against the commercialization, commodification and sexualization of children and young people. And in Australia, Collective Shout for a World Free of Sexploitation has really led the way. So what we say is that we need to act personally and act politically. So parents need to decide not to buy into the culture, not to buy this rubbish for their children. And then they need to act politically. Our regulatory bodies and governments have entirely failed to help us in our role as parents. They've let us down. They have offloaded their ethical obligations to citizens. You know, we have discovered so many failures in the system with the self-regulatory model, with the classification board, which has failed to stop illegal pornography ending up in corner stores and milk bars. We've found thousands of illegal titles. The system is completely broken. You know, we have an election coming up, and we've been urging people, contact their MPs, contact their candidates, and say, ask them what they are going to do about this. This is having diabolical, negative physical, mental, emotional health outcomes for our young people. If we don't act now, we're going to have massive blowouts in the health budget in the future, particularly with treating children who have been prematurely exposed to pornography and are acting out sexually on other children. So if people want to get involved, if they want to be part of a new grassroots movement against this, please, if they could visit collectiveshout.org and also our Collective Shout Facebook and my website, melindatankardreese.com. We run campaigns pretty much every day, and we help people to know the best way to make a complaint and to be effective in a collective way.
We're putting the details up on our Open House Community Facebook page. For a parent who's listening, who's had this on their radar, but perhaps not to the extent that you're now unveiling for us, two questions. What does that parent say to a young girl, and for that matter, a young boy as well?
Well, I think we need to help our kids to recognise their true value and worth. We need to do the obvious things like having the computer in a public place in the house, taking the mobile phones off them at night, but having conversations with them, unpacking the messages that they see, you know, finding those teachable moments. So they see an inappropriate ad, they see something inappropriate on TV, they notice a sexual slogan on clothing in a department store. You know, unpack it, have that conversation, and praise them for things other than their appearance. So often girls are praised for how they look, even in the family home, rather than, say, how well they did on their maths test.
Yes.
Help them recognise that. Help them to engage with their communities, get them out of this country. That's one of the best things I did, was take my kids overseas to a developing country and help them to see that they can make a contribution in the world. But I don't just put it on parents because I think it's too hard. It takes a village to raise a child. This needs a whole of community approach.
By the sound of it, you'll have to start these conversations younger and younger.
We are forced to have conversations with our children at ages that we would actually have preferred not to. But if we don't have those conversations with our kids, someone else is, and it may be not be someone who shares the same concerns and desires and values for our children. So sadly, yes, particularly on pornography, a lot of parents say to me, oh, my kid wouldn't go looking for pornography. Well, your kid doesn't have to go looking for it. It will find them. Pornographers have set up entire websites based on children's most popular cartoon characters. They've also studied the kind of mistakes children make when they type search terms into search engines and send them directly to porn sites based on those common keystroke errors. So pornography will find your children, I hate to tell you. So you have to have these conversations and do everything you can to help them to navigate that. But, you know, it's a tough job, and that's, again, why we need help from governments and regulatory bodies who have completely let us down, particularly in regard to internet filtering.
What are the conversations parents need to have with their boys?
Yeah, well,
this.
Boys need to understand that girls don't just exist for their sexual gratification and pleasure, because boys are being raised in a very brutalized culture, a culture that encourages them to see girls as only good for one thing. We need boys to recognize that girls deserve a lot better, and that boys are also being mistreated by this culture, by shaping and distorting their views of sexuality, by inducing them into porn culture and giving them a calloused view of sexuality that's stripped of connection and intimacy, and that sees girls as only sexual service stations for boys. Boys need good role models. They need good male role models. They need to see the way their father treats their mother with respect. They need to be, you know, we have such a drastic shortage of good role models in this culture for boys to look up to, you know.
Yes.
Celebrities, sports stars. Yeah, we need to just try to help boys to be decent men, to be good men, to be men of honour, and that's a massive problem. And I'm increasingly realised we can't have happy, healthy, resilient girls if we don't have a few more good boys. You know, I speak in girls' schools and boys' schools, and there are boys that do want to do the right thing. They recognise this culture is sick and toxic to them, but they need some support and they need some help, because it's very difficult to go against that, you know, dominant cultural mould.
Melinda, you're such a passionate campaigner on this and so well known. What fires you up to keep going on this?
Well, the main thing, I think, is this global uprising, but it's also, as well, hearing from girls, especially pretty much every day. For example, I had a girl write to me from a public high school in Sydney, and she was 15 years old, and she said, before I heard you speak, I thought that I had to get breast implants because I have small breasts and I was teased for them. I thought that I had to starve myself to lose weight, and I thought that I had to have sex by the time I was 16. You know, I've realized now that I don't have to do any of those things, that I can make my own choices and look after myself, respect myself, and, you know, do what I think is best for myself. And so getting a few letters like that, hearing from women who say that, you know, at last they feel they've found a home with Collective Shout. This is the movement they've been looking for. A lot of people feel isolated. They feel, if I complain, you know, am I just one person? Is there something wrong with me? But now they say they feel braver. They feel strengthened to make a complaint because they know that they're backed by thousands of others who feel the same way. So I suppose there are three of the things that would help me to get out of bed in the morning.
I'm glad you do, and all power to you. And we'll put, as I said, the details of Collective Shout on your Facebook page up on our Open House Community Facebook page.
We'd really appreciate that, Lee. Thanks so
Linda
much.
Linda Tankard-Reese, thank you so
Pleasure.
Much. Good on you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.